Would you open to Psalm 18? We're going to talk about prayer. This is the psalm that David prayed to the Lord after Saul was dead. The man who wanted to kill him is dead. And he's now free. And for the first time in years, he's free. But he hearkens back to the struggles of the years when he fled from Saul. And in verse 6, he says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." And I'm sure there are people here in the prayer conference who are in distress. In my distress, I cried to the Lord. Esther and I work, you know, for 40 years in the Japanese language. It's an Oriental language. And Hebrew is of that type. It's not like Greek. Words are pictures to you. The word distress in Hebrew means I'm losing the place to stand on. It's like someone trapped on a tiny island, you know, and a terrific rain has raised a flood coming down the river, and I'm on this small piece of land in the middle of the river. The water's rushing on both sides, and the sand is going away in the water, and I have no place to stand. I'm losing my place to stand. Well, here in America these days, there are problems of unemployment, underemployment. Yeah, I've got a little place to stand, but it's not enough to support the family. Debt, foreclosures, mortgage debt. Many Americans are in distress. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Now that's verse 6. Look at verse 19. The answer to that prayer is this: He brought me out into a broad place. See? That's 19, or verse 36, a little later on in the 18th Psalm. You gave me a wide place for my steps, for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. When we're in distress, things have tightened around us. We're struggling in different ways. In our families, the devil is out to destroy families. We thought we had a solid place to stand in family relationships, and the family relationships are being eroded, taken away from us. In my distress, I cried to the Lord. And we want to have a special time of prayer this afternoon. And last year, on the Saturday afternoon prayer time, I just had a great time alone. And I hope none of you find my place where I went and prayed last year on the Saturday afternoon of the prayer conference. But in these grounds, I found a spot that I was so blessed. And you know this, don't you? Where was I at that time when God met me? You better pay attention to that. You go back there again, God will meet you again. This happens. I don't know why that is. There's nothing theological or nothing in systematic theology about it, but it's sure true. When you have been to a spot and it was just right, and you met God, and He met you in the Word. Boy, get there again. So I hope you don't find my spot. But at the end of this session, Garrison is going to help us because it's been wet. It did rain. But he said the rain's supposed to be done, and there's only a 10% chance that it might rain in the afternoon. So we'll even be able to walk out on the grass, I suppose, some, but probably not sit down in the grass. Unless you have a little plastic with you or something. But anyway, we're going to scatter this afternoon. And the whole afternoon is free time. But we want to make it a good prayer time, at least for a good part of it. So we want to prepare for that time now and make sure that we jot down on the piece of paper we've got my distresses, the things that are troubling you, the things in your life that are troubling you right now, and might be finances, family relationships, guidance from God, or whatever it is. But we want to do that, and especially pray for families, our families. The devil is just, families are a great help spiritually. And if the devil can destroy them, he can get people on their own. And they'll fall. In my distress, I cried to the Lord. We want you to prepare to do that. Would you turn? I was yesterday with the young people here at the thing. We were looking at Matthew chapter 7. Verse 11. Here's one good prayer promise for you. Matthew 7:11. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Now they have to ask. Prayer is built in as the... This is built into God's plan. But He's a good Father. And He gives good things to those who ask Him. In confidence in the Father, pray this afternoon for those things that are troubling you. Make sure you've got a list. We're going to talk about that now. What about your personal life? Don't let anybody see what you're writing, but jot down. In my life, I need the Lord to touch me at this point. Whatever it is, write it down. What are your personal struggles right now? Prepare yourself now to pray earnestly this afternoon. Second, family. Write down names. People that are not saved in your family. Make sure you bring all these before the Lord. I mentioned this last year during this prayer conference at one of the sessions when I was speaking. It's the third generation where the devil is winning. Listen to this from the book of Judges. Judges 2:7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, the first generation. Right? Then, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, the second generation. Now verse 10. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation, the third generation. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, or the work that He had done for Israel. Mark down the names of the grandkids that you know in your family. Esther and I felt our prayers, you know, were being well answered with our kids pretty much. And we prayed like crazy for who they should marry, you know. And praise God, they married Christians. Now we have 14 grandkids. Some of them are not walking with the Lord at all. They don't know the Lord. And it just breaks our hearts. It's the third generation where the issue is. And back in Minnesota, there's a friend of mine I've known for 60 years or more, Christian guy, and he just said, boy, the garbage that's going into the minds and the ears and the eyes of the third generation, that garbage is wrecking them, the young people. And this guy's very serious about his family, and he takes grandkids out for a meal and just talks to them privately and listens to them and shares the word with them. But they're not all saved. They're not responding. The third generation is going to wreck our Christian families if we're not careful. Let's cry to God this afternoon for the grandchildren, especially. Wow. Esther and I even have got, now we've got great-grandchildren. We're in the fourth generation. But they're so little yet. Doesn't show up. Anyway. Family. This is distressful. When you see a Christian family status being eroded by the flood of garbage coming down through the river. That's a distress. Health's another one. And that's endless, really. Work. It's a big issue for some. Debt. You know, the number of people that got into a mortgage that was beyond their ability to pay, listening to bank people and realtors telling them, but you could have this room, you know. And now they've got a debt. And our local newspaper up in Minnesota, when I open to the back of the newspaper and read page after page of foreclosures, it breaks my heart. Yeah, it's the fault of the people who signed it. Yeah. But they're trapped. And the developers built a lot of nice residences in the town next to us. And when the crash hit, 28% of the homes in that town were vacant. 28%. To drive the streets in that town is a pain. As Americans, we need to cry out to God. And of course, the most important of all is the salvation of people, right? But make out your list. Keep working on it as I talk. I'm just trying to come at the issues from several sides. And don't miss. God is ready to hear you. In my distress, all these pressures, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord, and He brought me out into a wide place. He can do it. Now, write down this scripture, John 14:13, I think is one of the great scriptures that has helped me in prayer. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Why? Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Really, the answer to prayer is that. The glory of God in our lives. That our families are saved. The children are saved, the grandchildren are saved, and are worshiping the Lord, and the family brings glory to God. John 14:13. Sometimes prayer sounds so personal, like it's just me, you know? No, it's His glory that we're praying about. Okay, I'm at one point now, so I'm going to change the subject in a little bit, but is there anything anybody wants to ask or to add or to say, pray for me? Anything special you want us? There's something just heavy on your heart, like Jaina had about. I was just so touched by that. Deaf people don't have a song. And we just love to sing the praises of the Lord, you know. Is there anybody have anything special? Because I'm going to switch, kind of take a different tack here in a minute. Okay. Turn to Psalm 90, please. You can see I've been living with David. I love it. Psalm 90. This is a prayer of Moses. Ooh, what he went through. The last two verses, verses 16 and 17, have just come to me with power since we've been here at EI, here at the Institute. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now I'm going to get real personal. But I am here with a heavy burden for the Institute, for EI. I don't know, and I asked in the office and they couldn't find it right away, but I think it was several months ago. In something that the office put out, it said there were pastors in the area here in Greenville who said, EI, the Evangelical Institute, is the best kept secret in the Lord's work in this area. And I thought, well, now isn't that sweet? You know? And now I came down here, and I guess it is the best kept secret. But what does this say? What does this scripture say? Let your work be shown to your servants. God wants this work known. If the life of God is in this ministry, and it is, I'm behind it all the way. If the life of God is in this ministry, it will grow. It has to grow. That's the way it goes. And we need to pray for students. I want you to mark down there, students for EI. Pray for that this afternoon. Let's just pray God will fill it with so many young people it'll just cause all kinds of problems. You know, there's a place in the Proverbs, and I'm not a big Proverbs guy, you know. I'm more a David guy than a Proverbs guy. But anyway, it says, you know, well, the stable is certainly clean and nice when there's no ox in the stable, you know. But an ox, you know, makes it dirty. And I've cleaned stables as a boy on the farm. And I didn't like it. And it didn't smell good. But without an animal in the stable, the farm will go bankrupt. And when God blesses a work, it gets messy. And it don't go so easy. But it's growing. And I want this my heart cry for EI is God give growth. Let your work be shown to your servants, your glorious power to their children. They'll just come here. That the favor of God will be upon this place, and that God will establish the work of our hands. Now, I'm not working here, but I have a heart for this place at least. The establishing of this ministry, its growth, and its influence in the lives of young people. America needs young people trained in this place. This is a discipleship training institution. And I want you, as we go to prayer this afternoon, and you students may not all like this place, but pray for it anyway, okay? But let's pray growth into this ministry. Students for September. Mark it down. Please do this. Join me in this. I just love this place and what it can mean in the lives of young people. And train them for the Lord's work clear on down the road. Now, I didn't get to go to this because when I was getting trained, there was no EI. But 58 years ago, Mr. Carroll came to Japan and he nailed me to the wall. And I didn't appreciate all of it. But it's what I needed. You know, you can't help but be influenced by the things that are said around you. When I was in the Army in World War II, here's what we said. You know, the difficult thing we do now and the impossible thing might take us a little while. But that's the way we felt. We didn't care what was ahead of us. We'd just go for it. And that influences you. Then I went to college in America and I got a good training there in the Word. And nobody said this out. But I got the impression, look, we've given you this great education. Now go out and conquer the world. It don't happen. 40 years in Japan, nothing moved. But this is a place where young people are trained to pray. And it was the sin of prayerlessness that Mr. Carroll was after in our lives. He gave us the business. 58 years ago, I was just 30. I had a job that was way beyond my ability. And I needed what this school offers. And I didn't have it until Mr. Carroll came along. And I feel sorry for people going out without a training like this. So I didn't clear this prayer thing with, you know, Mr. Nirenberg or Mr. Brazier. I made it a point to keep it private till I got in front of you. Then I spilled the whole beans. But okay? Let your work be shown to the people of Greenville and to the people of America. Let's pray for the growth. Look at the land out there. I mean, we can handle more than 50. Come on! I know in Japan we had no land, you know? I mean, there wasn't any land left. You take half the population of America and put it in the state of Montana. What do you got? Crowded. And then that land is 80% mountains. Now try that. And I come here and I think, we could have a dormitory there, we could have another dormitory over here. You know, I mean, the sky's the limit in my mind, you know. But anyway, I don't know what the plan of God is, but I like this verse. I came here and I read Psalm 90. Verse 16, and I thought, yeah. Let your work be shown. Let the glorious power of God be on the children of the Christian families in this area and across the country. And that the work of our hands in EI be established and it grow in power is my burden that I want you to share with me this afternoon as we pray. Okay, I kind of shot my wad on that and we're going to pray a little bit right now. And then Garrison is going to come and help us to find a prayer place for each of us. He's going to tell us which rooms you can use, and this is certainly one of them. But we want it. It's the grass and all is wet yet, and we want you to find a niche. And okay, Garrison, if you'd come and tell us now, because we want to be ready. And then after that, we're going to spend a little time in prayer before the hour is up. Come.